Amen.
God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. You don't show that you love God just what you preach. You show God the way how you live. That's when you really tested to see, you know, when people's gonna watch my life. I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I got something that I'd like to do before we get to the message here tonight, and I want you to do me a favor. I want I'm trying to handle this as gentle as I can, out far because we got the visitors here tonight. But I want to say a thing. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Is that right?
Right.
Is that Bible?
Right.
You say you're King James Bible people, or do you believe that? And then nod your little pointed head. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right? All right then. I want to show you something. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now, tomorrow night, I'll just be honest with you. It's been a long time since I've been home. Been a long time since I slept in my bed, eat my wife's cooking, seen my wife. Long time since I've been home. And I come down here to do my best for the Lord.
Right.
Come down here to preach. I didn't come down here to make no friends. If I want to do that, I'd be a politician. I'm glad you're my friend, and I want to be your friend, but that's not what my purpose is come down here. My purpose is come down here and to preach the truth. Now, as I told you Sunday, truth changes nothing. It's what you do with the truth that does the changing. Lots of folks hear truth, but they don't ever change. Isn't that right? So it's what you do with that truth that you hear. So before we go turn over to Joshua chapter 9 here, in a few minutes, but not right now, I want to show you something. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul talking, he said, this is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desire the good work. He said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. He's got to be able, apt to teach. Verse 3, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy, a filthy lucre, that's money. But it said, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he rule the church of God? Not a novice, not just a young man, not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, this is last words of last verse here. Moreover, he must have a good report of them, not in the church, but them that are without, outside the church. I want you to read this. Them that are without the church, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, I want to say something here, and I'm going to try to talk to this church here for a minute. This is not my preaching, so if you're just visiting, please be patient with me just for a minute. I'm going to say something, and then we'll get started the message in Joshua chapter 9. Now, in this church, since I've been here, reading this here in that verse 7 there, it said, look at that verse 7 again. It said, moreover, he must have a good report. Now, I don't know exactly how many preachers are supposed to be members of this church. But I want you to know that you're not of a good report. I want you to know that I'm hearing all kind of reports, and it ought not be so in the house of God. You might say, Brother Johnny, I don't like it. I don't like you either if you have a bad report. Amen. Nod your little head. Bless God. I'm preaching now. Now, I'm trying to tell you, bless God, if you're going to be a preacher and you're going to be in the ministry, then, bless God, you ought to have a clean life that nobody's going to be talking about you and calling you a whoremonger and a Amen.
Yeah.
Is that right? Huh? Brother, don't let nobody out that back door. Amen. Is that right? If you do, I'll have you arrested. I'm trying. Listen to what I'm telling you now. I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to be a preacher of the gospel, bless God, you have a life. And if people's talking about you, then bless God, you need to get it straightened out. Is that right? Is that right? Bless God. I'm trying to tell you the truth. If it ain't, if it's a lie being told on you, then get it straightened out. Now, if it ain't straightened out by tomorrow night, while I'm here, don't matter to me. I'm ready to go back home to Tennessee. But we will get it straightened out tomorrow night. Preacher, I love you. I appreciate you letting me with you. But you can fire me tonight. No, you can't fire me because you didn't hire me. I done heard that since I've been here. We hired Brother Johnny to come up here and preach. I ain't for sale. You didn't hire me. There's only one reason I'd come up here. For him. And I'll tell you one thing, when I'm here, I'm going to tell you the truth, bless God. Like it, lump it, jump it, bump it, do what you want to. And I'm telling you, you preachers here in this church here need to get your life straightened out. If you be a member of our church, we'd listen, excommunicate your hide and put you out. Yep. Amen. I got scriptures on it. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen me, Larry. Bless God. They're looking like they're coming down with AIDS or something. But I'm trying to tell you the truth. By tomorrow night, I'm tired of trying to get up and having to preach. And folks see lost folks walk out because preachers can't get their life straightened out. And tomorrow night, if you don't get it right yourself before I get to this church tomorrow night, I'm going to put my handkerchief on everybody's head here, the preachers I'm talking about, that is guilty of carrying on this stuff. So you better get yourself together and get this thing straightened out. And if you're a man of God, you will. If you ain't, bless God, you'll run. Is that right? Is that right, Brother Joe?
Amen.
Bless God, if you don't back me, Brother Joe will get up and beat the daylights out of you. Amen. Is that right? I ain't got your houses in order, your kids ain't in subjection, and the whole town knows, bless God, you're nothing but a bunch of whoremongers and things like that. Amen. All right, turn over to Joshua chapter 9.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. You people that's in the ministry, I know you appreciate me for saying that. Bless God, you don't want no dirty preachers getting up preaching to you, do you? They'll let your kids die and go to hell, and they'll live in sin and corruption and argue and fight and sow discord among one another, lie on each other, cheat on each other. Is that right?
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
So, bless God, baby. That's why God brought me down from Tennessee. Is that right? I want to show you something. For you young people that's here, before we read chapter 9, the main thing that I have a lot of young folks come to me in meetings, here's what they say. They say, Brother Johnny, I know that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says that one day we're going to see him and we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the majority of teenagers that I deal with say this, Brother Johnny, I know one day that I'm going to be like him. How can I be like him now, Brother Johnny, when I go to school and I got to live with my parents and I got all kinds of... How can I live like Jesus now? How can I be like him right now in this day and time? Young people, you got your pencil. Let me give you some things real fast how you can be like Jesus. The very first thing is, watch this real close. Write this verse of Scripture down, Matthew 1:18. How can I be like Jesus, Brother Johnny? The first thing is you can be born like Jesus. You can't be born of a virgin. No way. I don't mean that way. But Matthew 1:18 said he was born of the Holy Ghost. That's the way people get saved, the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Is that true? Watch this real close, young folk. How can I be like Jesus? You can be born like Jesus. Watch, because the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's the only way that anybody gets saved, is the Holy Spirit convicts you. Is that right? Is that right? Number two thing, Brother Johnny, how can I be like Jesus? First thing is you can be born like Jesus, not of no virgin birth, but of the Holy Spirit. Next thing, Brother Johnny, how can I be like Jesus? You can be baptized like Jesus. Is that right?
Amen.
Watch this real close. He was immersed in the water. Is that right? Matthew's Gospel chapter 3. You can be baptized like Jesus. And the good thing that I'm proud about is, bless God, that Jesus was baptized by a Baptist preacher.
Amen.
Is that right? Jesus walked 40 miles to be baptized in the River Jordan by John. Is that right? And you can be baptized by a Baptist preacher too. Is that right? Huh? I don't know if they understand what I'm talking about, Brother Larry. Not only that, Not only can be baptized like Jesus, you can believe the scriptures like Jesus. Is that right? He said, Lord, sanctify them through my word. Thy word is truth. Is that right? Not only that, but you can love sinners like Jesus. Is that right? You can have a world outlook like, I mean, listen, young folk, just because you go to church, there's more to serving Christ than what's in this building here. I mean, listen, you might be a missionary, you might be a missionary's wife, you might be a young man here that give your life to Christ. How you can be like Christ? Go out, reach out, and find souls and win them to the Lord.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, let me give you something real quick. In Joshua chapter 9, and then we'll turn to the New Testament. Joshua chapter 9, and then the New Testament. I guess the reason, Brother Chris, the reason I was talking that way a while ago, I'm with so many folks that, listen, I believe this, that over one time, B.R. Lakin said that he believes that 50% of the people in the church that profess to know Christ are not saved. I even believe it even goes higher than that. Reason I say that is because their lives does not line up with this word. My good friend, Dr. Tom Wallace, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Franklin Road Baptist Church, had a man that was a member of his church. He was in the military. He went down to his church, professed to get saved. Brother Tom baptized him. And he'd lay out sometime at night. Brother Tom gave him a bus to drive, tried everything could to help him. All of a sudden, that man left his church and went to another state. And do you know what this man's name was? This man's name was, every one of you, I'm sure you know him, the Son of Sam. He would go to Fort Knox. He would go to Fort Knox to the military base there. He would go to Dr. Tom Wallace's church, drive the bus, talk about being saved, sit in the Sunday school. Then at night, he would take his gun, go to Lover's Lane, and shoot people in the head. But all the time, he was professing that he was saved. Everybody thought Sam, that they call him the son. They call him the Son of Sam. Let me get off this thing. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Joshua chapter 9 and in verse 23, please. I want you to watch this real close. The Bible said in verse 23, he said, Now therefore, ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being, here's what I want you on the line, bondsmen and ewers of wood, and drawers of water. Now, who Joshua was talking to is a group of people known as the Gibeonites. They had tried to deceive the children of Israel to acting like they was one of them. Joshua found out that they was not. Brother, is that heat off? I mean, it is. Can I take my jacket off? I'm about to burn my gizzard out. I'm telling you the truth. And anyway, here's what happened. And so they tried to deceive Joshua and them. So Joshua told the men in verse 23 and the last verse here, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do with you fellows. He said, you fellows tried to deceive the children of Israel. He said, so what I'm going to make you men to do, you're going to be drawers of water and ewers of wood. Look at the last verse and verse 27. And Joshua made them that day ewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for all the altars of the Lord, even to this day, unto the place which he should choose. Now, all of these men, watch this real close, that Joshua said that you are going to start drawing water. Every one of these was men. He told the men that you are going to start drawing water. In that day, in Christ's day, the only people that went and got water was the women. Men did not do this. Christ did this to humiliate them. He said, I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to make you men start doing something that women are supposed to start doing. And that is, watch this real close, I'm going to make you go down and you're going to start doing women's work and you're going to start hauling water, which is a woman's job. I'm going to humiliate you. That would be the same thing as if God told Brother Larry here to humiliate you. I'm going to let you go down to Hartford, Connecticut, and I want you to wear a miniskirt all up and down the street. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to humiliate you. And that's what God was going to do to these Gibeonites. He was going to embarrass them. Men never carried water. It was a woman's job. Is that right? In John's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus met the woman at the well. What was she doing? She was going to get the water. Men never carried the water. Only women carried the water. Is that right? God has always made a distinction about what men are supposed to do and what women are supposed to do. Is that right? One thing, I don't give a rip whether you like it or not, men ain't supposed to be in the nursery. Amen. Is that right? Men ain't supposed to be in the nursery, bless God. That's a woman's job. Is that right? I got news for you better than that. It's a woman's job to do the cooking. Amen. 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 I know you sissies ain't going to go along with that. Is that right? It's a woman. Is that right? It's a woman. It's a woman's job. Is that right? It's a woman's job to take care of them, to raise the children, and to clean the diapers. Is that right? God fixed you women a certain way that you could nurse the baby. Can you men do it? If you can't, bless God, don't be trying to do it all the time.
Yeah. Amen.
I get sick and tired of walking to men's bathroom and restaurants, see men in there changing diapers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know you ain't going to go out to use those thinking henpecked, till I'm telling you the truth. Is that right?
Yeah.
I found out nowadays, right, bless God, women love their dogs more than they do their husbands.
Woo.
Is that right? Bless God, you'll let that old dog run around on the floor, use the bathroom on the floor. You wouldn't let your husband do that.
Yeah.
Is that right? He'll get down there and lick his back in and everything, get up, lick you in the face. Is that right? Me and J. Harold Smith was in a meeting one time, and these people invited us home to eat. We went home to eat dinner with them, and we sat down to eat there that day. We sat down to eat that Sunday dinner, and we ain't got no more to sit down to eat. And that woman says, we got somebody that's going to ask the prayer. She pulled a bar stool up at the table, and she said, come here, Fifi. Come here, Fifi. And this stinking pink, one of them old poodles, one of them old things, got that hair cut around their nose and all that junk. Bless God, the other day I seen a woman in Nashville had a stinking dog in the car with her, and I'm telling you, that tail was a slapper upside the face. I felt like slapper upside the face. You gotta be nuts to let a dog lick you in your face. Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh? Ain't that right, Brother Chris? Huh?
Amen.
That dog was a slapping her all over the face and all that kind of stuff, running back and forth. Is that right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I better get off of that too. But what I'm trying, well, listen, I'm trying to tell you that God has made a distinction that there's things for men to do and there's things for women to do. Is that right?
Right.
Huh? Women's got three jobs: make beds, biscuits, and babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
Huh? Oh, I know you liberated women don't believe that. Is that right? Because you married some little old wimpy outfit. Is that right? Ain't going to make you. Is that right? He ain't going to be head of his house. Is that right? He probably got lace on his underwear, paints his toenails, eats tapioca pudding. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
Huh? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's got no reason some of you men carry your wife to church so you have to kiss her goodbye. Is that right? And a lot of you sitting here can't even get your wife to come to church. You know why? Because she knows you're a low-down hypocrite.
Yeah.
Is that right? Oh, I better get my money right now, brother. Don't let nobody out of here. Is that right?
That's right?
I want you to notice this real close. These Gibeonites, these men, was given the job to embarrass them and to humiliate them. I want you to do a woman's job. I want you to carry the water. Now turn over to Luke's Gospel chapter 22, please. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. Let me give you something. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. Luke 22. Let Brother John show you something real fast, please. And Luke 22. Let's stand if we would, please. Let's stand. These verses right here are so sacred. This is Christ's last night on planet Earth. This is his last night here. And we're going to take these few verses here. But these verses is so powerful that when John's gospel wrote it, he wrote from John 13 to John 17 just to record one night. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
John recorded 21 days of the Lord's life. John 13 to 17 is one night. Just one night. Is that right? Nod your little pointed head. Amen. Ain't that right? Watch this now. Watch this real close. Yeah. And the Bible said in chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 1, it said, now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how that they might kill him. Talking about Christ. For they feared the people. And it said, then not a demon, not a devil, but it says Satan himself. Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan would, listen, watch, look at me real close. Satan would never leave this job to an imp, to nothing else. He was going to do this himself. It says Satan. Satan entered into two things. He entered into the serpent in the garden, and he entered into Judas Iscariot, because this was such an important job that had to be done to have Christ killed. Is that right? Now watch this real close, what happened. Verse 4. And it said, and he went his way, talking about Judas. And he communed, or he started talking, with the chief priests and the captains, how that he might betray him unto them. And they were glad, and they coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him. Talk about betray Christ. He said, from the absence of the multitude, then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he, talking about Jesus, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where shall we go? In other words, what it's saying, what's his address? Where do you want us to go? Give us a name. Give us an address. Look what he said. And they said unto him, where do you want us that we prepare? He said unto them, behold, when you enter into the city, there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. What? Do you underline that? You're going to find a man, not a woman. You're going to find a man, not a man doing a woman's job. Watch this real close. He said, and you shall find, enter the city, and there you'll find a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him unto the house, and when he entereth in, you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there. Make ready. Art, you may be seated, please. Let me bring you up today. I don't understand Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I know that his ways is above our ways and his thoughts is above our thoughts. I know that. But I don't understand how that night, the last night on planet Earth, that he could have sat there knowing that this man, Judas, was fixing to betray him. I can't stand a snitch, and I'm sure you can't either. A tattletale, somebody that would do you in. If I would have been Jesus, I'd have told old Peter, cut his stinking head off. You ain't going to be on my payroll, bless God, and going to betray me. Is that right? But Jesus, knowing that all things must be fulfilled, let Judas do exactly what he was supposed to do. Now watch this real close. He said, Peter and John, tonight's going to be my last night on this earth. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go to an upper room. And you're going to meet a man. How that you'll see him? He will stand out from all other men. He will have a pitcher of water up on top of his head. This man would stand out like a sore thumb. You can imagine all the men up and down the streets of Jerusalem, all over the city there. Only one man standing there with a pitcher of water. They wanted to know, what's his address? What's his name? And the reason that Christ would not tell them what's his name, what's his address, is because Judas would have told them exactly where he was at. Is that right? Because they didn't even know what Jesus looked like. That's why Judas said, the one that I kiss, would give him a kiss, that's him. Is that right? Come on, preachers, bless God. You know that's Bible, is that right? Now watch this real close. They go into the city. Here's a man with a pitcher of water on his head. And they tell him, we have got to go to your place tonight. Tonight Jesus wants to meet in the upper room. He's standing there with a pitcher of water on his head. Watch this real close. When I read these verses, I was in a motel in Jackson, Mississippi. And I'm telling you, my sister, it began to prickle my heart. What in the world is it about this man? What is it that Jesus never told his name? I tell you, there's nobody got enough that God has blessed no more with a bigger library than I got. In my home, in my office, I got over 16,000 books. I got sets of commentaries. I tell you, that thing drove me crazy. I went home, I said, there's got to be something about this man. What is it that the Lord is not saying? Why didn't he name him? Even if he wouldn't give him Peter and John, why didn't he let me and you you know what his name is. So that thing began to bug me. And I began to search. And I got on the phone and I called some of the best Bible teachers and Bible preachers that I've ever known on planet Earth. I called Dr. John Phillips. I called C.L. Roach. I called different ones. I said, "Brother, can you help me with this verse? What is it so mysterious about this man that Jesus would not tell his name?" He said, "You just have a pitcher of water on his head. What is it about this man?" So you know the first thing I did? I took my Strong's Concordance out to find out what does Strong's Concordance say about this man. Larry, stand up and read, what does it say in Strong's Concordance?
It says, "Such a one, a certain one, example, one whose name I cannot call on the instant, or whose name it is of no importance to mention."
Okay, bro, thank you. Strong's Concordance said that this man, there's no reason to even mention his name. They didn't even know what his name was in Strong's Greek Concordance. Then I got to read in every kind of Greek reference I could. I took Vine's New Testament words. I took everything I could. I got A.T. Robinson's Greek word study. Brother Cliff, would you stand up and read that, what A.T. Robinson said, please, sir?
"The only instance in the New Testament of this old Attic idiom, the papyrus shows it for Mr. X."
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. He said, A.T. Robinson in his Greek word studies, men that have studied this Bible through the years and years, said the only thing that we can call him is Mr. X. We can't find no name. We can't find no reference. That still didn't settle me, preacher. That began to bug me even more. I said, a man by the name of Mr. X? God wouldn't name no man like that. I search. I beg God. I'd go to bed at night in my motel room and I'd sit there with my Bible open and say, "God, give me some light on this man. God, there's got to," I mean, it was just a crawling inside of my soul. What is it about this man? But I found him. Now, why'd you turn it over to find him? Here he is right here in Matthew 26. You know, if you want something for the Lord and you ask him for it, he'll give it to you. Is that right?
Right.
Huh? I want to show you something. And I kept saying, "Lord, what is it about this man?" Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to show you where this man's from. I want you to look at me first. This man is kin to you. This man is kin to you, son. This man is kin to you. He's kin to you. He's kin to me. He's kin to you. He's kin to you. He's kin to you. And he's kin to you. And do you know where a lot of his kin folks live at? Milton, Connecticut. Watch this. I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this real close. Look at here. You say, "Brother Johnny, what's his name? How did you search for his name? You search for his name. What's his name?" Look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 26. And I want you to follow me along. If you love the Word of God, follow me along everywhere tonight, please. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 26 and in verse 17. Look at what it says in verse 17. It said, "Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus," same story you're reading over there a while ago, "saying unto him, Where art thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover with my disciples." Do you see what his name is? Look at the top verse, part of verse 18. He is a man called such. He said, Jesus said, "Go and you'll find a man called such." He said, "You'll find who? Such a man." Is that what he said? So tonight, for a few minutes, I want to show you a message here tonight on a man called such. Follow me along. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Please, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's see if we can find him. Help me along. Help me find this man. Here's what I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9. Please mark these things. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Here it is. "And such were some of you." The very first thing I found about old such was a sinner. Is that right? Did you know that everybody sitting here today is a sinner? Did you know that? You say, "Brother Johnny, I ain't no sinner. I feel sorry for you. The only people that can get in God's family are sinners." Is that right? There's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned. We're all depraved. Is that right? Every one of us that make us kin to Him. Is that right? You know what reason I know you're a sinner? Because right here in the middle of your belly, you got a belly button, don't you? Is that right? You inherited the blood. Is that right? Contaminated. Is that right? Bless God, nod your little pointed head. Is that right? Huh? We're wicked, undone, ungodly, and we need a Savior. Is that right? Huh? And so there was a man called Such. First thing about a fan about old Such is he is a sinner. And that's the way every one of us, depraved, vile, not one spark of good about us. Not if you'd have heard Brother Joe's testimony today, you'd know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's none good. Is that right? Bless God, I ain't never seen no folk like this here. I want to show you something. Watch this here. So the first thing we found out about old Such. Old Such was a sinner. Let me show you something else we found out about old Such. Turn to John's Gospel chapter 8, please. John's Gospel chapter 8. In John's Gospel chapter 8. Let me show you something I found out about old Such. John's Gospel chapter 8. Watch this real close. Please. John's Gospel chapter 8 and in verse 5. It said, now Moses in the law commanded us that what? That such should be stoned. The very first thing about a fan old Such, old Such was a sinner. Second thing about a fan about old Such is he was sentenced to death. Did you know that every one of us was sentenced to death? Did you know that? The soul that sinned us shall die. Is that right? Is that true? So every one of us was a sinner. Every one of us condemned to die. The law condemned us. Is that right? And I want you to know, glory to God, I settled out of court. Is that right? Is that right? Amen. I settled out of court. Bless God. September the 22nd, 1968, 9:30 that night. Glory to God. I tell you, I was under the sentence of death. Is that right? And you were too until you got saved. You was just like old Such. You was a sinner. You was sentenced to die. But I got some good news for you. Bless God. I got goosebumps running up and down me now. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Bless God, I like this. Look what happened to this. Let me show you something. Let me show you what happened about old Such that I like here. Not only Such was a sinner. Not only Such was sentenced to die. But according to Acts chapter 2 verse 47, look at what it says. Praising God and having favor with all men, the Lord added daily to the church. Who? Such as should be saved. Is that right? First thing I found about old Such, that he was the sinner. Second thing I found about him is he was sentenced to die. And the third thing I found about old Such is he got saved by the grace of God. Oh, is that right? Is that right? How did he get saved, Brother Johnny? Acts 2:38, first word. Repent. Repent. Is that right? That's how you get saved. You repent of your sins. You trust. Is that right?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you another reason why he got, not only that helped him along to get saved. Look at that first word in verse 47. It said they was praising God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I don't think that happens too much in Connecticut. If you make it to heaven, I believe that God, when you get into heaven, he's going to put you in beginner's class to show you how to praise him. Is that right? Is that right? Huh? Bless God. You know what you think around here? You think it's going to be like the Grand Ole Opry in the sky, don't you? Is that right? Huh? Bless God. I guarantee you one thing. You won't hear none of that contemporary junk over there. Is that right? Amen. Is that right? Huh?
You're right. Amen.
Oh, let's say holy, holy about 77 times. Is that right? Huh? The Bible said first that old Such was a sinner. Old Such was sentenced to die, and old Such got saved by the grace of God. And I've got news for you, bless God, when you get saved, there will be a change in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Is that right? Is that right? Bless God. I tell you that night I got saved anyway, but 109 pounds. He that loveth the Lord shall be made fat. Is that right? Is that what the Bible said? Is that right? Huh? Is that right? How? Watch this real good. I had hair all the way down the back of my neck down there. I had it in a ponytail back here.
Come on, preacher.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Went in there that night, wasn't looking for God. I was like, right. Brother Joe, I went there to fight, but praise God, that night, something got a hold of me. Is that right?
Yeah.
I walked in there a pauper and walked out a child of the king.
Right.
That's what God can do for you. I want you to know that. Amen. Listen to that. Listen to this. I want you to know that when God saves you, He changes you and changes you all over. Is that right? Huh? Bless God. When you get saved and really get a good dose of it, everything you got belongs to the Lord. Ain't no such thing as saying, well, Lord, you know all the bills I got. I can't give you much. I say, bless God, when you get right with God, full of the Holy Ghost, you want to give everything you got.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh, I know some of you mad already. You done got puffed at me at the first inning, way before the such. But that's all right. You can swell up like a toad frog or you want. I found out a long time ago, bless God, I can look in the face of 47 hypocrites and still preach. I can still bake bread in a cold kitchen, amen? Because that's coming from a hot oven, amen? Ah, is that right? That's the way it should be. Is that right? I'm trying to tell you, bless God, when you get saved, some things will make you. Listen, that preacher, I've never heard not one thing about how you're supposed to cut your hair and wear your hair. But I'll tell you, I had a Holy Ghost inside of me. I had a Holy Ghost inside of me that said, Johnny, amen. Boy, you want to be like Christ? You want to be Christ-like? Then get that stuff cut. I didn't even know something about 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Is that right? Boy, I'll tell you one thing. The Holy Spirit was in me. Is that right? It's sure clamping down there. It's sure clamping down. Is that right? You feel the kickback I'm getting. You feel the kickback I'm getting around. I'll tell you something else, too. I'll tell you something else, too. You ladies, when you get saved, you'll learn to put some clothes on. Is that right? Is that right? I seen a woman the other day. I ain't lying to you. Listen, this pastor told me that she was a member of her church, and I met her in Walmart, and she had on, a pair of them bullfighting britches. Amen. Listen, what I'm telling you, if you'd have put a quarter in a back pocket there, you could have told if his head or tails 50 yards off. Is that right? Is that right? Bless God, I was down in Florida a while back, sitting in front of my motel out there waiting for the night service to get started, and a bunch of that church's members was running by out there. I ain't never seen such a herd of buffalo and mice taking life. Cellulose, if it had exploded there, it had killed everybody around there. Is that right? Huh? Is that right, preacher? But I'm glad, bless God, when you get saved, everybody will know it. Is that right? Is that true? Let me tell you something. I was up in Denver, Colorado. And I tell you, we got down to that church service that day. I tell you, it was cranked up. I mean, before there was any preaching. I tell you, during the choir, this old boy, I tell you what, he was a waving his hands. He was a shouting. He was a weeping and crying. I tell you the truth. I mean, he was drunk on the Holy Ghost. I mean, we was having a meeting there. We got through his service that afternoon. He said, Brother Johnny, he said, would you come eat Sunday dinner with us? I said, yes, sir, I'll be glad to. What we did, we got in the car that afternoon and got to his house. We had a little old trailer way out there in the country. We ain't no more than got out there in that trailer out there, and we got ready to ask the blessing on the food. And when he did, man, he cut loose a shouting again. He run out the front door of that trailer. He was running out there in the cars. Well, glory to just a shouting and a praising God. Cows was a running, everything. I mean, I asked his wife, I said, what in the world is wrong with your husband? I said, I understand him shouting down at the church, but in the name of God, we're just going to ask a blessing on the food. What in the world happened to him? She said, do you know what his name is? I said, no, ma'am. I don't know what his name is. She said, when he comes back, ask him what he was. He stayed gone about 5 minutes. I'm telling you, he was a running. I mean, he was so happy. He was so happy in the Lord. He come back in there. Well, we finally got through with the blessing. I said, preacher, brother, I need to ask you a question. I understood you shouting out of the church and all that good choir singing. In the name of God, what happened to you there a while ago? He said, Brother Johnny, do you know what my name is? I said, no, sir, I don't know what your name is. He said, my name is Jesus. He said, my parents, he said, they hated God and the Bible and Jesus so bad that when I was born, they named me Jesus. He said, when I would go to school as a kid, he said, they would put me up against a wall like this and the kids would try to drive pencils in my hand. They would try to drive them in my feet. He said, I hated him so bad because I took mockery because of his name. I hated him so bad that when we had our first child, I named him Judas because I hated him so bad. He said, I was a prize fighter for years. He said, one day I was in an 8-round bout in Chicago, into the south side of Chicago. And he said, I had a fight one night with a Puerto Rican boy. He said, I believe that he had 8 arms on him. He said, he looked like a windmill. He hit my arm. He hit my eye. Broke my jaw. Cracked my jaw. Like to knock my eye out. And my coach told me, my coach told me, he said, listen, my manager told me, he said, listen, a man with a cracked jaw, we'll never be able to do no more fighting. You're finished. I'm going to give you bus fare. I'm going to take you a motel down on State Street. I'm going to drop you off. Your finished days of fighting are over. He said, as I sat in that room that night, my eye was almost closed. My jaw was broke. He said, I picked up the phone and called my wife. He said, I feel like taking my life. The thing that I love most, fighting, is over with. And his wife began to talk to him. He hung up the phone. He reached to pick up the drawer for what he said, I don't know. And when he opened it up, inside of there was a Gideon Bible. Amen. And not only that, but laying beside that Gideon Bible was Ford Porter's tract on God's simple plan of salvation. Amen. He said there in that motel room that night, he said, I read that tract, how that God loves sinners and how that they can be transformed and saved. And he said, Brother Johnny, I want you to know that night I trusted Christ. I got saved by the grace of God. Amen. He took off running out the door again. I mean, he was a shouting. He come back by the door and he stuck his head in the door. He said, Brother Johnny, not only did Jesus get saved, but little Judas has got saved too. Yeah. Oh, that's what God can do. Yeah. Is that right? Huh? I'll guarantee you that's exactly what God can do. Boy, I tell you, you tried to make a backslid whiskapedia and want to jump up and shout. Is that right? Oh, such was a sinner. Such sinners to die. Oh, such got saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. God don't save nobody that he don't want you to get to church. Let me show you something else Such found. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 4. Let me show it old Such. Old Such was excited about being saved. Now he finds out that God wants him to serve. Watch this real close. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and in verse 23. This is good hour. This is good verses. Look at here, Brother Chris. Look at this at verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers... I want to stop right there. I want to stop right there just for a minute. I wish you'd write these verses down. I want you to do me a favor. I wish that you would write down Mark's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 11. This is what some, not this verse, you don't have to turn to it. Please don't, but mark it down. Here's what happened. Jesus was born in this world. When I read this word worship, I just thought about it. Jesus was born in this world. The wise men come to see him, didn't they? Is that right? Nod your little head. The wise men come to see Jesus. They did not find him. Don't you believe all these preachers get up and preach when they found him in a cow stall and he was, all this guy's a little, hey, is that right? When the wise men found him, he was already a year to a year and a half old. They did not find him in a cow stall. They found him in a house. Ain't that right, preacher? You look like unbelieving believers. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to show you. I think you're saying, brother, I never heard that. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 11. And it said, and when they were come into the cow stall, it said a house.
That's right.
And look, and it said, when they come in the house, they saw a little bitty baby there. No, they did not. They saw a young child. That's a year to a year and a half old. But here's what I like. And it says, and they saw and his Mary and his mother worship and mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. He had never spoke. He had never done a miracle. He had never wrote a book. He had never done one thing. They just, grown men, fell down and began to worship him. Here's the sad part. Did you know after that time, for 30 years, nobody never worshiped Jesus Christ. They never worshiped him one time until the 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel, whenever he began to cleanse the leper and all those things. Watch this. These wise men was really wise. That's what God called them. Because they worshiped him when he never done one thing for them. The Bible said in Matthew 8, they worshiped him because he did something for them. I think that's the way a lot of folks in the independent Baptist church. They'll worship God just because he does something for you. But do you love him enough to worship him if he don't do nothing for you? What about that? That's why God said they was wise. I had to get off of that. Is that right? Is that right? They never worshiped him until he started cleansing the leper, till he got to walking on the water, feeding the 5,000. Then it said they worshiped him. But is that right? He was a little bitty baby. He couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. He never did one thing. But they worshiped him. The thing about your life, can you worship him if you don't do nothing else for you? What if he told you it's going to get worse around your house? Will you still love him? Will you still say, God, I serve you regardless of how bad it gets? Now, let me get off that. John's Gospel, chapter 4 again. It's no such fix to get happy here. It said, John 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh who? Oh, such found out that God was looking for him to worship him. Bless God, that ought to make you kick the windows out of this place. Is that right? To know that God is looking for him, to looking for old such to worship him. First, he was a sinner. First, then he was sentenced to die. Then he got saved, and now God's seeking him to worship him. And God wants here in Independence Baptist Church here, in this town in Connecticut here, to worship him. Is that right? I'll never forget when I was a boy. I used to play down in Louisiana, way back down the swamps. We was poor down there. You people in Connecticut don't know what poor is. I'm telling you the truth, brother. I'm telling you, you don't know what poor is. I'm telling you, we use possum for our tomcats, amen? We use hoot owls for our chickens down there. The only reason us Cajuns went to weddings and everything so we could eat the rice, amen? I'm trying to tell you the truth. I mean, it was bad down there. And watch this real close. I'll never forget, we used to play out there behind this old school. And all the boys would get out there and play that sandlot baseball. We'd play that sandlot baseball out there. We'd put old pieces of flappers that come off of the car, off of trucks, and try to just go down the road. That was first, second, and third base. And out there behind this thing out there, you know what we had? We had an outdoor toilet. Now, you people up north probably don't know what an outdoor toilet is, do you? Do you? You know, here you go, son, that's right. You know, we had two rooms and a path. Y'all got two rooms and a bath. Is that right? Is that right? But out there, views for public service and everything, we had a two-holer. You know what that is? You know what a two-hole? Amen. Hey, but listen to what this now. But because it was for public use, one hole was for the kids and one hole was for the adults. The one for the adults was this big around, and the kids was about that big around. And there was a big sign on the door. Whatever you do, don't go near the big hole. Every time us boys would go out, the coach before we play ball said, boys, whatever you do, don't go near the big hole. When you go to the bathroom, go to the little hole. Don't go to the big hole. We was out there playing one day, and everybody said to the boy fixed to go to the bathroom, said, whatever you do, don't go near the big hole. We had a little old snotty-nosed boy around there, and I can't stand that kind. Amen. I believe, bless God, you ought to take this belt and whip the devil out of them if they don't say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Is that right? We were sitting in that restaurant today. How many, this couple that was here last night, got all them children, woman 8.5 months pregnant, and strangers in the restaurant kept coming over here. You got the best mannered kids. I ain't never seen no kids act like that. Well, when you save, you're going to make your kids act right. The reason you don't make them act right is you don't act right. You full of hell yourself. Is that right? Is that right? Huh? Watch this now. Oh, boy, I got a kickback again, Brother Chris. Boy, I tell you the truth. Look, I didn't come down with AIDS or something. You got my pistol? We might have to shoot. We might have to shoot our way out of here tonight, brother. Watch this real close. Watch this real close. And that little boy got ready to go to the bathroom and said, "What have you done? Go to the bathroom. You leave me alone. Don't you tell me what to do, little old snotty-nosed devil." Oh, boy, it makes me mad every time I think about it. I'd carry him up behind the woodshed. There'd be some bloodshed, I guarantee you. Is that right? Huh? You parents ought to amen me. Bless God, you let the television bring him up. Is that right? Huh?
That's right.
Hell of vision piped out of hell. Well, better not. I'll get on that tomorrow night. Watch this real close. Watch this real close. We told a little boy, whatever you do, don't go near the big hole. Leave me alone. Like acts like a deacon. Amen. You don't want to get me started on all that. You know why you don't want to get me started on that? Because you don't really want to know the Bible. You don't really want to know that Bible. Is that right? You don't really want to know that Bible. If you knew that Bible about them deacons, ooh, you'd have to do a lot of changing. Is that right? You'd have to do a whole lot of changing. Ain't it? Well, I better not get on that. What Peter told him to do, pick you out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I ain't never seen a deacon full of the Holy Ghost or wisdom. Some of them, I guess you can say they have. But it's sure strange. The church was 7,000 then said, pick you out 7. That means 1 for every 1,000. And I go to some independent Baptist church, they ain't got 20 people, got 19 deacons.
Yeah.
Bless God. Right. The only reason they do that, bless God, to keep them in there. Right. Amen. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Huh? I don't like it. I don't give a rip what you like. I'm preaching now. You preach some other time.
That's right.
Is that right?
Amen.
Huh? Is that right?
Amen.
That little boy got there in that bathroom. He run in there and shut that door. And he wasn't in there about 2 minutes. Help! 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 And we said, "Coach, something's happening out there." He went out there, and I'm telling you, he opened that door. Us kids run up behind him, and that little boy had fell over backwards in that thing. And he had them little short, pudgy fingers, and he was all, "Help, Coach! Help, Coach!" And just as the coach reached down to get him, them little fingers let loose. All that stuff all over him. I mean, he stunk like an Angora goat. I mean, buddy, he had that. And I mean, the coach picked him up. Ken told us boys to get some water and to wash him and to clean him up real good. Did you know what happened? That boy became the first outdoor evangelist of our county there. Every time somebody would say, "Whatever you do, don't go near the big hole." Because he never forgot the day that he got washed. Is that right? Yeah. And you forgot the day that you was headed to the big hole and Christ washed you. Yeah. And that's what we ought to do around here. Telling everybody, you don't want to go to the big hole down there.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Huh? I'm trying to tell you the truth. It's taking Catholics trying to say there's purgatory, a motel up there in the sky somewhere. Is that right? No, Such got saved. Oh, Such was a worshiper. Boy, that was so good about that old boy. I'm telling you the truth. I'll never forget it. Even to the day I left that town, he was still warning kids not to come to the big hole. I don't know if you heard this because I just recently put it on my internet there. I was down in Alabama here a while back, and I was with a preacher, and I mean, he was struggling. I mean, he was trying to get his church going, and I mean, he's a man that lived God. I mean, separated unto God, he was God's man. And I'll pray for a man like that and try to help him. But I tell you, if a preacher's a compromiser and won't preach and tell the truth, and I'm telling you the truth, don't have his house in order, and a whoremonger, I wouldn't help you. Amen.
Amen.
Is that right? I'll expose you. I'll put you on the internet. I'll put your stinking name there. I'll buy a newspaper ad in Middleton, Connecticut, and I'll put your name in there.
Yeah.
Say you wouldn't dare. You try me. Watch this real close now. And I went down to Alabama down there. And this little preacher, here's the story he told me. He said, Brother Johnny, my church was a struggling. We was having a hard time at my church. And he said, I went down, went visiting my neighborhood out there. And he said, when I went drive by this house, he said, I noticed this man was standing in the front house, in the front yard out there, and he had a water hose like this. And he said, there was a big old black dog. And he said, that dog wasn't jumping up and down like this. He said, that dog wasn't jumping up and down. He said, he had turned all the way around. He had that tongue hanging out of his mouth. He said, that tongue, he said, that dog, he said, that man had put that water hose up like that, and that dog would jump up like this, and that dog get on the ground, and he'd just turn all around like that. He said, boy, he said, I'm telling you the truth. He said, I blowed my head, my horn at that man with that water hose. He said, hey, sir. He said, I passed a little old church down the street here, and I wanted to stop by and talk to you about coming over to our church. This man said, well, sure. Come on up on the front porch. He said, sir, I ain't coming up on that front porch. That dog you got's acting crazy. He said, I tell you the way that dog's after jumping around and acting crazy like that. He said, man, that dog's liable to eat me up. He said, no, you come on front porch. I'll cut the water off. He cut the water off. Preacher went up there and talked to him about coming down his little church, about coming down there and visiting with him. When he got ready to go, he asked the man a question. He said, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. I ain't never seen a dog act the way that dog was acting. He said, that dog was outright crazy. He said, he was so excited. What in the world made him do that? He said, well, I'll tell you, sir. He said, you see, it's just me and my dad live here in this house. He said, one day our septic tank got so stopped up it wouldn't even flush no more. And he said, we had the septic tank man come here to the house and to clean our septic tank out. And he said, whenever he got down inside there, he found there was a broke piece. He said, he come to the front out there. He said, the old dog was up under the porch. He come to the side of the porch and told me and my dad. He said, listen, I got to run into town. Don't let nobody go around back. The top is off the septic tank. Whatever you do, don't go around back. He said, because it could be dangerous if you go around there. He said, he took off to go get some parts. He said, I don't know if a rabbit or a squirrel or what happened run across that front yard. But he said, the first thing I know, he said, that dog jumped up under that porch and took off running. And he said, the first thing I know, I could hear him yelping. I could just hear him just a yelping. He said, buddy, he was down in the middle of that septic tank. He said, me and my daddy walked to the edge of that porch there. And I don't know if you'll get this or not. He said, but my father said to me, son, if you love that old dog, you better go down there and get him. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're looked at as a Gentile dog. Is that right? And that's what God the Father said to the Son. If you love that old Gentile dog, why don't you go down there and get him? That guy said, he said, I went down there and I put a ladder down there, Jacob's ladder. He said, I put a ladder in there. And he said, I got, he said, old dog was a swimming around. He said, every time he tried to fight me. And he said, boy, I'm just trying to save your life. I'm not trying to hurt you. He said, boy, finally I got him by the nape of the neck. I throwed him up on the bank like that. He said, I got that water hose, began to wash him. And he said, the reason that dog goes crazy is he ain't never forgot the day he got washed.
Amen. 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 That's great. Amen. Praise
the Lord. And we forgot.
That's right.
We have forgot. That's the reason we don't praise the Lord no more. Is that right? Well, let me give you another one. I don't think you can stand much more such. I'll give you fast, real fast. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, such did the same thing that every child of God goes through. Remember the other night when I preached on how the eagle goes through the moping period? Oh, such got through the place of the despondency. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened about in his life. But let me show you what happened to him real fast. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. First, oh, such was a sinner. Oh, such was sentenced to die. Oh, such got saved. Oh, such starts saving. That was serving. And now such goes to slipping. Look what happened. And listen, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, and of who? Such, like if I told you, as I've told you before in times past, that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, meekness, and temperance. But look at verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1. Thank God he belonged to a good church. Look what it said in Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore who? You go out there, you find such, and you restore him and get him back into fellowship. Tonight there's people that's been in church and tried to serve God, got hurt, got run off. They need somebody to go out there and get them. And the Bible said if you're spiritual, you will. Is that right? I had a policeman that was sitting here last night. Told me, he said, Brother Johnny, I got saved. I lived for God for a long time. And I backslid. And nobody come after me. And that's the reason a lot of people don't come back, get back in church.
Right.
Is that right? They don't go after them. And we need to get them back in. Is that right?
Right.
Well, let me give you another real fast. So turn to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to give you one more after this. We'll go to the house. I'll cut about six off. Lord, y'all had a heart attack then. Revelation chapter 21. Let me show you what happened. Revelation chapter 20. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 20. And in verse 5. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5. It said, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On who?
Such.
On such, the second death don't have a bit of power over him. Is that right? If you die once, if you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. So I said, oh, such, the second death couldn't even bother him. That's your other S. And the last one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the last time I can find old such in the New Testament. Well, I'll have a little thing what Paul said about him in a little while. I'll tell you when we're fixed to walk out the door. This is the last time I seen old such. This is the last time I seen him, sister. And I was looking what was going to happen to old such. He was a sinner. He was sentenced to die. He got saved. Then he began to worship. Then he got in church. He began to slide back. But even though he slid back, that's eternal security. He still did not lose his salvation.
Right.
You know why? It's because, listen, you are kept by the power of God, not by your good works. Is that right? Huh?
Amen.
Watch this real close. This is the last time, Brother Chris, I see old such. Here he is, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. He said, I knew a man in Christ about or above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such was caught up into the third heaven. If you don't know it or not, the third heaven is where God lives at. The last time I could find old such, I could see the bottom of his Buster Brown shoes as he's cutting up the glory. Is that right? And if you're saved by the grace of God, had an experience like he did, one day you're going to leave this planet and go up to the third heaven. Is that right? That's where God lives at. That's the getting off place. Is that right?
That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
Is that true?
That's right.
Now if you want to write this verse down, you don't have to turn over. This is it. Paul, after such went to heaven, here's what he said about him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 29, if you want to this down, Paul said, and such had a good reputation.
Amen.
What about you? You got a good reputation? What about you? What about you sit here in this church here tonight? Do you have on a man called such? I hope you got something out of this tonight. But can I tell you something else? Whenever you study in your own private study, did you know that such had a sister by the name of Much? You can go all through the book of Romans, and every time you find Much, so you find out Brother Such and Sister Much went to heaven. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads if we would here. Let's bow our heads. And I want to thank you so much for every person here. Every person. Thank you so much for being here tonight. But here's the main important thing. Will a song leader come? The piano player come? But I need to ask a question here while they're getting ready here. You say, Brother Johnny, as I'm here tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. Brother Johnny, I know that I'm born again. Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. And I know that, Brother Johnny, if I should die on the way home, I know, Brother Johnny, that if I should die on the way home, that, Brother Johnny, no doubt that I'd go be with the Lord. I'd like every child of God, would you signify it by an uplifted hand? Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Isn't that good? My Lord, it looks like about every hand in the house. Or you can put them down now. You say, Brother Johnny, as I sit here tonight, I heard the story about a man called Such. A man that very many people knew except the Lord. A man they even called Mr. X. A man that said it ain't even worthy to mention his name. Did you know that that's what they used to say about me? That I was unfit to even live in society. Judge Sam W. Davis told my wife, when he got ready to sentence me, he said, Miss Campbell, if I had the power, that I could do it, I would lock Johnny up, that he would never be back on the streets with decent people again. He said he's unfit to live in society with decent people. But God so loved me. God so loved me. When they said there was no help and no help, God loved me. Saved me in the middle of an old field, old sawdust on the ground, less than $3 in my pocket, a pair of tennis shoes on, a pair of old blue jeans, a Budweiser t-shirt, and a pack of Winstons rolled up in my sleeve. I walked out of there that night, his child. And you can too. You hear tonight, you say, Brother Johnny, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm born again. Brother Johnny, will you please pray for me? You say, Brother Johnny, I need prayer. What about it tonight? Pray for me, Brother Johnny. Is there one? You concerned about where you're going to spend eternity at? Pray for me, Brother Johnny. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Here's, I got a question for you. You're saved. You're born again. You say, Brother Johnny, there's some things in my life that I've got to get straightened out. There's some people that I need to go to, and I mean we need to get this thing dealt with. Not all just coming to the altar saying, God, help me with it. No, you're going to have to get it right. There needs to be some confession made to this church that I've seen since 2 days since I've been here. If you can't do this, you need to take your sign out there down. Because it's nothing but a joke and a slander. And you need to just put a sign out there, call it a mortuary, and you won't have nothing but a rescue mission. But if you want a church, but if it's not going to really be Baptist, then take the Baptist name down. Don't call yourself something that you're not. And if there's people here that you need to go to and get things right, I don't know a better night to be able to get it done. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved and you got things in your life and you got ought to get your brother or your sister, you let me tell you something. Lost, there's some folks here tonight that I know are lost. I mean, I know that are lost. And you let me tell you something. If you quench the spirit here and you hinder this service here and they walk out of here, I want you to know that their blood is on your hands because you would not get right. You, is that right? It sure be a good night to come tonight. Brother, sister, boy, you want revival? This is how we have revival. Let's get right with each other. Is that right? How can you say you love God who you've not seen and hate your brother who you have seen? And why don't you be a man or a woman here tonight and get this thing settled tonight? This is be a good night tonight to get it on the blood. Some of these men I know work hard today. They work hard. I mean, some of these men I shake hands with as calloused hands, and they get out there and work hard and want their wife and children to come here and to have a church and to have a church. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. With all this bickering and arguing and fighting and stuff like that, I'm trying to tell you the truth. It's not ought not to be so in the house of God. Is that right? This sure be a good night. Let's start off having a good meeting here tonight. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Song leader, what you might have. What song you got, brother?
Have that on one.
Okay, thanks. Yes. What about you tonight? Yes.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Yes.
Have
what about
thine
it?
Own way.
Are you really telling the Lord to have his own
thou
way with you?
Art the
thou art the potter. I'm the clay.
I am the clay.
What about tonight? Thank you, fellas.
Mold
thank you.
Mold me
thank
and
you.
Make me.
Brother Larry.
Me
deal with after man
thy
deal with
will.
Yes. What about it tonight?
While I am
what about
waiting,
it tonight? You say, Brother Johnny? Brother Johnny, I need some help.
Still.
What about it tonight? Are you hindering the Spirit of God?
Have
what about it?
Have thine own way,
huh?
Lord. Have thine own way.
Come on.
Search
come on.
Me and try
you need help
me.
Here tonight? Be a good
Master
time tonight. Come to an old time altar. You got somebody you've been running your mouth
water
about. You got something. You got something in your heart. You got something in your heart. You're trying
wash
to put it off. Let's God be
now.
A man about it. Get the thing straightened out.
As in thy presence.
Come on.
Humbly I bow.
Another verse, brother. Another verse, please.
Have thine
what about
own
it?
Way, Lord.
Yes.
Have thine
amen.
Own way.
Yes.
Wounded.
What about
weary.
Yes. Come on. Come on.
Help me,
I
want to
ask
I
you
pray.
Something. Have you been meeting with people?
Power
you been hearing them talk about your pastor
power.
Here? I want to tell you something
surely
else. Come up,
Pastor.
Come here, come here. Let him by you, bro. Let him by. I want to get something straight here. I want to get something straight here. Are you the pastor of this church?
I'm the pastor of this church.
Is anybody else the pastor of this church?
I
want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. What's your name?
Richard Clegg. Pastor Richard Clegg.
Richard Clegg is the pastor of this church. And I know that there's people, people that says they love this man and they want to follow this man. And you shouldn't be listening to no talk about him. Now, if he is guilty of anything of this Bible, if he's not a good report, he ought to step down as being pastor. Amen, me.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Huh? You don't keep a man as a pastor just because you like him, bless God. You keep a man because he's a man of God.
That's right.
Ain't that right, sister? Huh? Amen. But if you've been listening to any tongues run about him, bless God, you need to go to that person and tell them they need to get saved or get right. Bless God. And you people that love this church, don't let some long tongue outfit bust up your church.
Right, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Is that right? Take a stand for something that's right.
Amen.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it for you. But if you say you love this little church, and I believe some of you really do, I believe some of you people that's not in the ministry here have nothing to do in the offices of this church here. I really believe that you really want a church. But I'm going to tell you what I've seen in this church since I've been here. It's the ones that run this place. Amen. Well, am I right? Am I right, brother? Don't you want a church back there? Amen. I really believe that. I believe that with everything in my heart. But I'm telling you, the ones that are supposed to be preachers of this church and Sunday school teachers and music men and everything need to get their hearts right with God and get right with each other.
Right.
And if you can't, you probably ain't even saved.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't like that, brother. I don't give a rip what you like. You send me home tonight. And I'm going to tell you the truth while I'm here.
Right.
Amen.
Thank
God.
God
bless you. Amen. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Can we help you? Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes. 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 Will you say another verse, brother, please, sir?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Yes.
Have thine own way.
Yes.
O Lord, my being,
yes.
Absolute
yes. Amen. Yes.
Fill with thy spirit,
yes.
Till all shall see,
yes.
Christ only always,
yes.
Living in me.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Sing another one, please. Please, another one.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me. Master today.
An old child come forward. Want to pray.
Wider
can't
than
even get some of these hard-hearted adults. People are supposed
wash
to love God.
Me just now.
People are supposed to be the ones that are supposed to go out.
As
we go
in
the world
presence,
and all we got to just preach and stuff.
humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
I'm trying to find my jacket.
Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you, Brother Johnny. I thank you for preaching the truth. Yes, I am the pastor of this church, and my name is Richard Clegg, if I didn't announce myself earlier. This revival was the first revival that ever touched me. Never had a revival touch me like this. And I'm going to tell you something. You people that belong to this church, you be here tomorrow. You hear me? You be here. I have a lot to say. And I just pray that you pray for your pastor. Because I love every one of you. We just need to get some things straight. And I apologize for ever saying that I hired this man. It's just a slip of the tongue. You'd never hire a God's man. But you be here tomorrow. And you just ask God to give me the strength that I need to do what I have to do. And I'll thank you for it. Let's go in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, Johnny, will you close in prayer?
My Father, I want to thank you tonight. Oh, God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for helping me. I want to thank you, Lord God, the Father, that you helped me, Lord, through all opposition. Demons of hell, Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the shed blood. Father, I want to do my best for you. Lord, I counted the cost, and it don't matter. I pray, God, that you'll do what needs to be done here. But I pray, Lord, that these men will be men, Lord God, that they love you, that they'll get things right and not just, Lord God, put it up under the rug, but let's bring it out in the open. Let's really do business with you. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you still take in dirty laundry. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you love sinners. And God, forgive this church and this pastor and these people. If one person walks out lost here tonight because of a dirty ministry, God, help us here at this church. God, Lord, help my pastor. Help. Oh, God, I'm so glad you gave me a good man to instruct me and to help me and to love me without compromise. Thank you, Lord God, for our friends that we've gained since we've been here. Bless each one that come our way, our new friends. And God, help us this week. Help me as I get on the road. Oh, God. Help me tonight, Lord, to lay his body down and get a good night's rest. I want to thank you for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.